Thank you for downloading this podcast from Sound of Science. Lionel is a VW campervan, but inspired by the words and works of Carl Sagan, Lionel is the spaceship of our imagination. He likes to take people to the edge of the known universe, but before they go, we like to chat to them about music, life and science while we share a delicious pudding. This is Dessert Lionel Discs.
Lionel's passenger this morning is Natalie Ireland, the director of Manchester Science Festival. Hello, Natalie.
Hello.
You're about to begin a journey through the cosmos. Lionel will take you to the edge of the known universe and, all being well, back again in time for your festival. Lionel's fully equipped for your journey and comes installed with a projector and screen to enable you to watch a film of your choice, which I wonder if you've brought that with you.
Well, I struggled to come up with a film, if I'm completely honest. There were a lot of films I thought I could watch when I was going into space. I like a lot of horror and a lot of thriller films, and they didn't feel fitting.
Yeah, it's going to be quite scary on when you're on your own in the middle of nowhere.
I thought Wall-E might be quite nice because there's not a lot of dialogue, and it could be something that, well, there's no dialogue, is there? Just lots of little noises.
Yeah.
And I thought that might be quite a magical little film to watch as I'm going on a journey, and then I could also kind of get distracted and peer out of the window.
Lovely.
And that was the only one I thought of. I didn't want anything too distracting, so that I could enjoy the journey.
I think Lionel will be happy with that. I've not seen it for ages. That makes me want to watch it again, actually. But if you do get bored of watching that, you don't need to worry, because Lionel's happy for you to borrow his copy of Carl Sagan's Cosmos, the book of the television series, which is a great read and probably quite useful when you're travelling through the cosmos. And he also comes equipped with the complete works of Sir David Attenborough for you to watch on the screen behind me here.
Marvellous.
Now, you're going to be getting some pretty stunning views out of the window, but all journeys are improved immeasurably with some music to pass the miles, or in this case, light years. And there's just enough room in Lionel, with all this stuff we've got in here, for a 5-CD wallet, which you can fill with 5 CDs of your choice. Perhaps we can take them one at a time. What is your first choice?
Well, again, I thought long and hard about this, and I thought, what if I end up getting lost in space? I'm going to be stuck with these CDs for quite a while. So they had to be really good CDs that meant quite a lot to me.
Yeah.
So the first one is Oasis, The Master Plan.
Oh, yeah.
The Master Plan song is one of my all-time favourite songs.
Right.
And I love that album as well. So I just thought, perfect, I'll take that with me. And it reminds me a lot of growing up. I used to go to loads of Oasis gigs when I was about 13, and I'd go backstage because of my friend's mum. She used to get us into all these gigs because she worked for them.
Well, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, which was pretty amazing.
That's
at 13
good.
Years old.
Yeah.
So it would be The Master Plan.
That's good. We'll listen to that in a minute. But when I was at university, it was at the height of the Oasis Blur competition.
Yes. There is no competition.
No. And the same week I went to see Oasis at Nebworth.
Oh, lovely.
And Blur played at the Exeter University Freshers Ball, or Summer Ball, like I think it must have been the Summer Ball. And at that point, it seemed to me that Oasis had won.
Definitely. I went to Loch Lomond.
Okay.
I must have been quite young. Yeah. And we got into the pit at the front, and it was a real squash.
Yeah.
So I was literally in front of the stage, and then we got a speedboat across the loch to go in backstage, which was amazing. And the hotel we were staying in was the same hotel that the band was staying in.
Right.
And I woke up the following morning, opened my curtains, and Noel Gallagher is taking off in a helicopter, flying past my window. I mean, I'm a teenager. This is amazing.
That is amazing.
And will stay with me forever.
Yeah. Well, I can see why you'd like to take that with you then.
I don't love their new stuff as much, but they are, in my heart, one of the best bands of all time. Take the time to make some sense of what you want to say, and cast your words away upon the waves, and sail them home with acquiesce on a ship of hope today. And as they land upon the shore, tell them not to fear no more. Sing it loud and sing it proud today, and then dance if you wanna dance. Please, brother, take a chance. You know they're gonna go which way they wanna go. We'll be right back.
You're the director of a science festival. How did that come about?
Oh, blimey. Well, when I was at university, I decided I wanted to be the next David Attenborough, that I would be on telly telling people about amazing science and the world around us.
Yep.
Yes, pretty good ambition, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I realised I didn't really have a lot of experience in doing that kind of thing, presenting on telly, and I spotted, because I was at University of Newcastle, and I did a medical microbiology degree, there was a job coming up at the Centre for Life, which is a science centre, hands-on science centre, where people can go in and find out about the amazing world around us and really kind of participate and enjoy lots of different experiments and chat to scientists and see science shows.
Mm.
And a job came up and I thought, live on stage, telling people about science, doing hands-on workshops, engaging with schools, and I was like, that's kind of like what I was thinking I might like to do on telly, but live.
Yeah, yeah.
So I applied for that and got that and absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then started working on Newcastle Science Festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so putting a creative and cultural programme events together all to do with science. And then I've hopped around on various science festivals.
Okay.
The British Science Festival, which travels the UK, the Australian Science Festival.
The Australian Science Festival?
Yeah, I was travelling around Australia and I went off and did a bit of work for them.
Oh, right.
Developing and delivering some workshops.
Does that cover the whole of Australia?
No, it's set in Canberra,
okay.
Which not everyone who visits Australia gets to go to.
No.
But it's where a lot of the kind of national activity happens and a lot of outreach happens from Canberra to do with science and things. So I went there and did a bit of stuff there. And then I came back and I ended up with a job in Manchester at the Museum of Science and Industry as director of Manchester Science Festival.
Okay. And now you're staying here now, presumably.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So what's your second CD that you're going to take along with you?
Again, it kind of means something to me. It's stereophonic.
Okay.
Word gets around.
There's a theme.
There is a theme. we will shift the theme in a bit.
Okay.
And this just, it just really reminds me of being at school and just having an amazing time and lots of friends and, again, going to gigs and... I just fell in love with the Stereophonics, and this to me is still the best album that they did. Standing at the bus stop with my shopping in my hands, when I'm overhearing elder ladies as the rumours start to fly. Hear them in the schoolyard, in the scrapyard, in the chip shop, in the phone box, in the pool hall, at the shoe stall, every corner turned around. Starting with a schoolgirl who was running home to her mum and dad, told them she was playing in the change room of the lockup. Sally said, tell us again. She told him again, tell us the truth. He found it hard to believe, cause he taught I was Steve. He can train me, taught Uncle John as a father of three. Only takes one tree to make a thousand matches. Only takes one match to burn a thousand.
At school, that takes you back to your school
days. Definitely.
And you did a degree in, which science did you say it was?
Oh, medical microbiology and immunology.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you know you were going in that direction?
No, not at all.
Okay.
At school, I was brilliant at maths, but my passion was art. So I studied in Scotland, so I didn't do GCSE and A-levels. I did... standard grades and higher grades and six-year studies,
okay.
Which is a bit different. So I did maths and art, six-year studies. But before that, I wasn't kind of on a science route at all. And I got the chance to study, similar to AS levels, a biology for AS level.
Right.
But it's called a higher grade in Scotland.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll have a shot at that. That looks good. And absolutely fell in love with it.
Right.
Just my teacher was amazing. She was so passionate, so considerate. And I just had a brilliant year studying biology. And just as I was kind of thinking, I'll go off and do some art at university, I went, no, I really, really want to learn more about biology, and just kind of went on that route.
Yeah.
I'd always been scientifically inclined. I was always curious about the world, but I just had kind of gone off in a bit more of a creative direction, I suppose. So anyway, I went off and did biological science for the first year at university, and then that specialised into medical microbiology because I liked gruesome things, you know.
Yeah.
I got to see... weird diseases and what happened to the body and how you could fix it.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that.
I was at the Natural History Museum yesterday, and I was watching some films for a project that I'm doing, and there was a guy there who was talking about decay as if it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the thing I loved is when I got shown bits of, like when someone, you know, has elephantitis, and parts of their body are absolutely ginormous, and like that's a horrendous condition, but it's so fascinating what's happening to the body and how something so very strange can happen, and then how can you fix these things. So that's what I kind of got passionate about. The technical detail in immunology and things kind of blew my mind, and I was probably more interested in the general stuff, which is why I've ended up doing what I do, because I like to know a little bit about everything and try to help the festival to do that.
Absolutely. So is your third CD the theme from Embarrassing Bodies
then? No, it's not. I suppose as you go through your working life, you start to get a bit more stressed out than when you were at university and at school. And so I have a massive obsession with Nina Simone.
Oh, fair enough.
I think it's just music for the soul. Yeah. It soothes you.
Yeah.
Moments of calm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if I need a good old sleep, it just relaxes you so much. It puts you in the right kind of frame of mind just to relax and fall asleep. So I don't actually know if it's a compilation album, but I picked Blue for You.
Okay.
Because it's the one that I listen to on my iPod. That's got a real great mix of Nina Simone, and I just absolutely love it.
Brilliant. Is there a particular track you would like to play?
No, the whole thing.
Okay, we probably won't play the whole thing. But here's a little bit. There have been some pretty incredible shows and activities at the festival over the years, but I say that as a fan. are there any that stand out to you?
So many. I think one moment that really defined the festival for me was a huge immersive arts experiment called Supercasonic Boom.
Oh, yeah.
There is an underground neutrino observatory in Japan. It's under a mountain, and scientists are just trying to get to the understanding of, you know, how life began, and they basically recreated this experiment, which the public can't go into, and scientists have to go in under this mountain, and if they need to fix anything in the observatory, they have to float across this lake of water in a boat, and it's just magical, but no public ever gets to see it. So they recreated this experiment in a disused laboratory at the back of Manchester Metropolitan University. Visitors got to turn up, put on a Pyvex suit, a helmet, some wellies, get on this boat and go through this tunnel of just pure science, with scientists from the project who told them about it, with flashing lights and loud music, and it was just amazing. And I think it was a huge turning point for the science festival, because it just showed how different we could be, how playful we could be, the kind of events and activities that we could bring to the festival and inspire people with science.
Yeah, and it was brilliant. Yeah. It is interesting that you say that was a turning point for the festival, but it was one of the first things I came to at the festival, but it really excited me about what was possible at Manchester Science Festival as opposed to perhaps some of the other ones, which are great as well in their own way, but there's something that's different about Manchester Science Festival, and
I'm glad you see that. That's what we try to do.
Well, you succeed, I think, and that was something. I've not seen anything like that. I don't think anybody.
No, has. And I suppose we're always looking for the next super K-Sonic boom. Yeah. What can we do differently? And what we've instead of saying, okay, we're going to recreate that kind of experience and on a different theme,
yeah,
we've just been a bit more broad in our reach and our way of programming. And so we tried loads of different things. And another one is Polar, and obviously.
Yeah.
You know about Polar.
Yes.
That was just magical. You know, beautiful footage from the polar regions, gorgeous classical music, lots of different audiences that hadn't connected with classical music before, hadn't maybe seen this kind of footage before, just immersing themselves in that kind of environment, who'd never been to the science festival before. Mm. And there's a beautiful anecdote from that event where there was a family, I think it was maybe four generations, mm, and the great-grandma was being taken out for her birthday, mm, and I think it was her 89th birthday, mm, with seven-year-olds. And
brilliant.
So that was just amazing that happens at the festival. And so that was another moment for me. Polar, I absolutely loved it. So if anyone has the next big Super K-Sonic theme,
yeah absolutely,
let us know.
You know where to come. Quite. So we'll move on to your next CD.
Okay. It's Elbow.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was a bit of a latecomer to Elbow.
Fair enough.
When I moved to Manchester, I used to live in the area when I was very little, and then moved back to Manchester for the festival, and discovered Elbow.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're
what
very
can
proud
you say?
Of them. Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
So it's the Seldom Seen Kid, because that's the first album that I fell in love with.
Yeah.
And it's One Day Like This. Who's high
performed at Jodrell Bank recently, which was an amazing gig.
Oh, I bet. I really wanted to go to that.
It was a moment where Guy Garvey was standing out in front of that enormous telescope there, and he projected an image of his cat onto the telescope, and I thought, that's the kind of thing you can do when you're a big rock star.
Yeah, I'd rather it was a dog than a cat, though.
Okay, fair enough.
Much more a dog person than a cat person.
Yeah. So the festival starts on October the 27th, and if you need to get to the edge of the known universe and back, we really need to get you going.
Yeah, there's a lot to do.
quite. Before you go, you can have your final Earthbound dessert.
Oh, lovely.
Have you brought that with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Melt-in-the-middle chocolate pudding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let's put it on. okay, we'll put that on the stove. Does it go on a stove?
Oven.
Oven. We don't have an oven in here. You have to have it cold.
Oh, what am I going to... No, you can't have it cold.
Oh.
Microwave?
There isn't a microwave. We've got a fridge, grill.
Oh.
I probably should have specified this.
I wasn't briefed.
No, sorry. okay. Well, you've brought the pudding with you. We're parked outside a house. We may as well go and use the oven and then bring it back. So we'll go and do that. So, finally, just before you go, what are you most looking forward to at the festival this year?
Well, I can't not talk about Lionel. We are in the spaceship for our imagination.
Yes.
So Lionel's going to be at the festival playing some lovely films, some science-related films, and he'll be popping up on the last weekend around a few different venues, and you'll be able to follow it on Twitter, hashtag locate Lionel. Mm. So I'm quite excited about that.
I've heard a rumour he's going to appear before the festival soon.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. So... Twitter, locate Lionel, and you'll find out. And the film strand I'm really looking forward to, just going back to film, seems to be on that. We're turning the 1830 warehouse space in Mosey into a beautiful cinema. And it's playing Gattaca, Moon.
Lovely.
And a couple of events will also have some post-screening discussions.
Okay.
And it's such a gorgeous, raw space that you'd be able to kind of cosy up and watch a film. So that's lovely.
I know the discussions sort of led to, I think David Kirby's involved.
David Kirby's involved. He's been helping us to curate them. So he's an academic at the University of Manchester who specialises in science communication and science films. And he's been helping us to select some films and thinking about who we might get to come and discuss them. And we've got a really lovely film called Dimensions, which, I mean, it's about relationships and people, but also about time travel. Somebody building a time machine. And we've got the director come in to talk to us about the making of the film. And I think that's quite lovely. So we haven't done that kind of thing before. We've had a couple of film screenings, but I just think it's nice to kind of package it up and make it really inviting and do it in a bit of an unusual space. And those are going really well, the bookings for those, so that's brilliant. And then I'm also excited about the Wasted Works. We've got this installation coming again. It's in the same building at the Museum of Science and Industry, and it's launching during Manchester Weekender. So if you can't wait for the festival, it'll be open from the 12th of October. And it's sculptural pieces exploring the idea of donating body parts. So what do you do with your teeth when they fall out, your milk teeth, your hair maybe? What do you do if you have a joint replacement? What might you do with that joint? It's the idea of the cells in these things, and is it our right to be able to do with these organs, these bits and pieces, what we want? But also it's just really beautiful. And so that's a really lovely installation. And Gina will be doing, who's the artist, Gina Zarnecki, we're doing some in-conversation events and tours of the installation during the festival as well. So they're the things that I'm most excited about to see.
Well, as we said earlier, it's a different kind of science festival, and I think that highlights that brilliantly. So the final CD is going to be the last CD that you hear on Earth and the first that you hear as you chug off into space in Lionel. Because it's time for takeoff, let's pop in the CD and off you go. What are we going to be listening to?
Maybe a bit unexpected. The Buena Vista Social Club.
Okay, right.
One of my all-time favourite bands, and I went on a trip to Cuba a couple of years ago. So all my music is connected to places I've been and times of my life. And I just had the best time. It's the best trip I've been on, the most amazing country. And this music just gets me going. Ready for a bit of a boogie all the time.
Well, great. Strap in. You're on your way. Thanks. Enjoy your trip. I'm going to leave you.
Thank you.
And have fun.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Oh!